It is good to see each one here. We've got a good crowd, and we have several who are visiting with us, and we're very thankful that you're here. If you have questions or comments, you feel free to make those to us, and we'll do our best to answer questions and talk with you about any Bible subject that you desire. We hope that you'll come back and be with us. We had a good day yesterday. We cleaned up the highway on the Adopt a Highway program, and then handed out about 300 to 400 flyers for Vacation Bible School. So hopefully next week we'll have a good crowd and be inviting folks and try to get this building as full as we possibly can for that. This week my daughter and son-in-law went on a mission trip to Guyana, South America. And the only reason I bring this up is because this congregation played a part in helping them. They provided some support for them. There were 19 baptisms that were there. There were over 500 individuals who were seen as far as the medical mission was concerned. They conducted vacation Bible schools at two congregations of the Lord's people down there. And then they also had a gospel meeting throughout the course of the week. So they had a very successful week. And they're back now, worn out, tired. But it was a good week. And so pray for the work down there. It's a good work. And the Church of Brooklyn has been involved in that work for about 15 years or so. And they have established not only the different churches there, but also a children's home that oversees about 100 kids. So it's just a big work, and they've done a good job. And so keep them in your prayers as well. It's good to know that there's brethren all over the world working and laboring and preaching the gospel of Christ. And we're not the only ones, folks, by any means. But we are glad that you're here. It is the day of worship, and we're thankful that you're a part of that with us. The Bible affirms, and the evidence concludes, that there is a God in heaven. And my friends, this God in heaven shares a relationship with every human being upon the face of the earth. If there's no other relationship that a man has with the Almighty God, he has at least one, and it is this: God is his creator. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2, verse 7. The psalmist proclaimed, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Psalm 100, verse 3. Now there are many upon the planet who not only share that relationship of creator and created, but also share a relationship of master and slave. Most of the time when we refer to Jesus as master, we do so through another word, and it is through the word Lord. All those individuals who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ and have obeyed his gospel have made them his Lord and Master, my friends. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Luke 6, verse 46. All those who reject the will of God, all those who rebel against the will of God, have no right to call him Lord. But all those who obey are truly individuals who can bow and call him their Lord and Master. As the creator of man, as the Lord of man, this God about whom we speak has a right to make demands upon us. And he does. Psalm 119, verse 4 says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. On one occasion, a prophet asked Israel, "What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God?" Micah 6, verse 8. Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 7, 21. My friends, those passages and numerous other ones indicate that God has commanded His people. He has made demands upon His people. He has caused us to have things that are required of us to do. And He, as the Creator and He, as Lord, has a right to demand of us. But here's our question for the lesson this morning. Does God demand too much? And that little word is T-O-O. Too much. You look up the definition of the word too, and it carries this definition. Excessively. To degree and extent. To demand in such a way that is not right, that is not fair, that is not justifiable, that is not desirable. My friends, has God demanded too much? Is He excessive? Is He beyond fair? Has He commanded us in such a way that it is not right and that it is not just? If you were to go out into the world and ask the world that question, there are many who would answer it in the affirmative, would they not? There are individuals who are not Christians, individuals who are not friendly to Christianity, individuals who do not believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who do not even believe that God exists. And when they look at our religion, they would say this: your God is too demanding. There are those who are religious in nature who would affirm the same thing, would they not? They may not practice Christianity, but they are religious individuals. And when they look at Christianity, they say, wow, no, that's way too demanding. I have Christians, and by that I mean New Testament Christians, members of the Lord's church, who deep in their heart believe that God is too demanding. He's too excessive. He wants too much. He desires too much out of me. And it's just impossible for me to do. God is just too demanding. My friends, the real answer to the question is this: no. God is not too demanding on us. But if a person were just to walk up to me today, and they were to ask me, Vic, what do you think? Is God too demanding? Here would be my answer: yes and no. That doesn't even make sense, does it? Well, let's try to make sense out of it then. Point number one. Yes, God is too demanding if you look at the commands of God from a merely human perspective. In Genesis 22:2, we read the following. And God said unto him, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. God is speaking to Abraham, is he not? Now folks, let me ask you something. If the clouds of heaven parted today and God spoke directly to you in your bedroom and He told you, you take your child and you sacrifice him upon one of the mountains, what would you say? Oh, thanks God. Gladly. Won't hesitate to do that. Or would you think, wow, this is a little excessive. This is a little bit too much. This is something that is way too demanding upon me. Let's look at another example. We turn over to Matthew, the 19th chapter. And there's a man who has come in contact with Jesus Christ. And he asks him what he needs to do in order to inherit eternal life. Do you remember the stipulation that Jesus gave him? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. Matthew 19:21. Folks, I don't have just tons and tons and tons of stuff. But I've got enough stuff that I'm pretty happy. And if Jesus came to me and He says, Vic, I want you to go and sell everything that you have. Every drop of everything. Accept the clothes on your back right now, and then you'll be acceptable unto me. Man. You want me to sell my Nitro? Folks, that's my car. Okay? I looked at those things. You may think they're ugly. I looked at those things for several years, and I'd tell God, man, that's a cool-looking car. I want one of those. I was in Paris, Tennessee. We went by the lot. There's that white one sitting there. And wow, look at that thing. And I somehow, Kathleen was in a good mood. Well, why don't you just go down there and get it? Oh, boy. Now, if I had to sell my Nitro, are you kidding me? To be right with God? God, isn't that just a little excessive? You see, from a sheer human perspective, folks, sometimes God's commands can look like they are too demanding. I command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Folks, many of my brethren look at that command and guess what they say? That is too demanding. And there are many churches who have never practiced church discipline. Why, folks? Because it's too excessive. It's too much. We don't want to do that. You see, from a sheer human perspective, God is too demanding, isn't he? Point number two. Is God too demanding? Yes. From Satan's perspective, he is. Folks, who is our enemy? Is it not Satan himself? 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Folks, if Satan can do anything, he wants to convince us that God is way, way too demanding. Let me give you some illustrations. Oftentimes, Satan tries to convince us that God is too demanding by trying to pit our will against the will of the Almighty God. Folks, our God is the one who has authorized his worship, is he not? And he has commanded us that we are to worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4, verse 24. It is my responsibility to make certain that I do the worship of God in the manner in which God prescribes it. When it comes to singing, we don't have instruments of music, do we? Many individuals walk into our midst and they wonder, what in the world are you doing without instruments? The reason is very clear. The New Testament doesn't authorize instrumental music. Not one passage. It does authorize singing, does it not? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5:19. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Colossians 3, verse 16. My friends, we have been authorized to sing. Not sing and play, to sing. That's God's will. But man's will is totally different, is it not? You mean God doesn't want you to have an instrument of music? I mean, man likes a lot of different kinds of instruments, don't they? And folks, man likes the beat, and man likes the rhythm, and man likes the sound of all of those instruments of music. And many individuals have been given talents and abilities whereby they can play those instruments of music. And man, just think about it. That music can be so loud that it just drowns out any bad stuff coming from the voices of those in the audience. I mean, I've heard that. You know, that's one of the reasons they have instruments. So here we are, we've got God's will pitted against man's will, and we say, oh no, we cannot use the instrument of music. That's just too demanding. That's just too hard. That's just too specific. That is just too... You see how man does? And how Satan tries to convince us God is too demanding on us? Folks, Satan also tries to convince us that God is too demanding by taking away everything that is pleasurable. You know, some of my brethren love to social drink. That's pleasurable. Get together with friends, sit around, have a beer or two, whatever it might be, their drink of choice, get a little buzz going. It's true, isn't it? Kind of like that buzz. And many of my brethren, oh, they love to dance. That modern dance is so fun. We get to gyrate in every different direction. Wear all kinds of skimpy clothes. It's fun, Vic. You need to do it once or twice. You might be convinced of it. And what do we say? God's will teaches against those things, does it not? God's will exhorts us to be sober-minded individuals. God's will teaches us that we are not to involve ourselves in lascivious type of behavior. We are not to engage therein. Well, that's just too hard. That's just too demanding. You're taking away all the fun out of life. Folks, sometimes we need to remember that sin is wrapped in fun, isn't it? Hebrews 11:25. The Bible tells us that a man by the name of Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I'm not going to deny that some of those things are not fun, that some of those things are not enjoyable, that they don't bring some kind of satisfaction to the emotional aspect and the fleshly element of man. Yes, they're there. But that's not the point, is it? The point is it a violation of the will of God? That's the point. And if it is, what is Satan trying to teach us? Oh, that God of yours is just way too demanding. Thirdly, Satan also tries to teach us that God is too demanding when he demands of us things that we have absolutely no way of knowing the outcome to. Last Wednesday, we talked about Noah being warned of God of things what? Not seen as yet. Hebrews 11:7. Never saw those things. And what is he telling him to do? Build an ark. Build this massive structure in order to protect yourself from something you've never seen. There you go. Spend several years of your life in order to protect yourself from something you've never seen before. Abraham, I want you to leave your homeland. And I want you to go into a country that I'll tell you about later. Right now, I just want you to leave. Genesis 12:1-3. We've been talking about Joseph, haven't we? He had some wonderful dreams as a young man, didn't he? My brothers are going to bow down to me. My mom and dad, they're going to be bowing down to me. Wow! And then all of a sudden, he's cast in a pit, sold into slavery, and he finds himself located in Egypt in a slave's position, doesn't he? A little bit later, he finds himself a little bit deeper in trouble, doesn't he? Now I'm in a prison accused of rape. Folks, Joseph has no clue how the outcome is going to transpire. He can't see the future, and God has not revealed all of those details to him. You see, God's just too demanding, is he not? Esther, she had no clue what was going to be the outcome of walking into that king in order to make a demand of him with regard to the plot of Haman, did she? I may be killed. The king may not accept me. I don't know the outcome. You see, Satan wants us to believe that if you don't know the outcome, then God is way too demanding on you. Here's what Satan doesn't tell you, though. Anytime God tells you to step out into the unknown, He does not let you step out there by yourself. God is there in every step you take, isn't He? For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Hebrews 13:5-6. But you see, Satan doesn't tell you that. He just wants you to believe that God is too demanding by stepping out into the unknown. There's a fourth way that Satan tries to convince us that God is way too demanding. And it's this way. If you have to face, because you obey the commands of the Almighty God, then God is just way too demanding on you. Folks, opposition is going to come when we obey God, isn't it? There are going to be individuals who get angry with us. There are going to be individuals who will alienate us, who will shun us. There will be individuals who will harm us. There may be individuals who kill us. Die for your faith? I tell you what, I think I'd rather just die for my faith than I had to have to go through months and months of persecution for it, wouldn't you? Especially bad persecution. Torture. That'd be miserable, folks. If you have to go through that, surely God is way too demanding. There were some Hebrew Christians to whom the inspired writer wrote in the book of Hebrews with regard to the same kind of matters. Did you know that? Go home tonight and you read Hebrews the 12th chapter. In verse 4, he tells them that yes, you're under persecution, but you have not yet resisted unto blood. In other words, they had not yet felt physical violence against them, but there was persecution. He does three things to them. Number one, I want to remind you about Jesus. Verse 3, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Secondly, I want to remind you of sonship. Sonship involves a father. And being a father, there are times when that father, because he loves you, must chastise you. You need to remember that. Verses 5 through 9. Thirdly, he reminds them about the fruit that comes from discipline. Folks, are there good things that come out of discipline? Oh, yes. The writer calls them the fruits of righteousness. We become better individuals. We become stronger individuals. We become individuals who now have certain qualities and characteristics in our lives. Why? Because we had it made? No, because it was hard. And in verse 12 he says, wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for thy feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but rather let it be healed. Remember these three things and strengthen yourself. Keep on running. Don't give up. Don't turn back. Don't think that God is too demanding upon you. You keep on doing what needs to be done. Don't let Satan ever convince you that God is too tough on you. So yes, from man's perspective, oftentimes, God's too demanding. Yes, from Satan's perspective, he wants me to believe that God is way too demanding. But the question is God too demanding? And we said the real answer is what? No. My friend, for the faithful child of God, God will never be too demanding upon me. Never. You see, if I love God with all my heart, God is not too demanding. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5:3. As a faithful Christian, I understand the grace of God, and I appreciate the magnitude of that grace in my life. And because of that grace, nothing God gives me to do is too hard. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was not bestowed upon me in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Folks, that's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. You get grace and you'll never be, what I mean by get, you understand it. You get grace, you understand grace, You will never become unfaithful, and we won't have to beg you to be faithful. You know that? Because you will appreciate it. And nothing God desires of you, nothing God commands you, will be too hard. You will work and you will labor tirelessly and you will never give up. Why? Because it's not you who are working. It's the grace of God in you who's doing it. Thirdly, if I understand my citizenship and where that citizenship is, folks, nothing God asks of me is too hard. I don't live here in the world. This world is not my home. We even sing that song, don't we? When I became a Christian, I moved my citizenship, folks. My citizenship, yours as a Christian, ought to be where? In heaven. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Philippians 3, verse 20. You see, everything God commands of me, everything God demands of me, is preparing me for what? For that eternal city, is it not? It's not about this world, folks. This world is going to pass away. This world is going to be destroyed. There's going to come a day when nothing here is left. I don't care how fun it is. It isn't going to be here. Drink to your heart's content, and one day all the whiskey will be gone. Then what you going to do? You're going to have to dry out in hell. Aren't you? Won't that be an experience? Who wants that, folks? Is that what life is all about? Absolutely not. Life is about what? Life is about preparing for that world to come, where my home is, where my citizenship is, folks. And I understand that. So God's not too demanding to keep me away from this world. If I truly understand my reward, it doesn't matter what I have to suffer. Remember Moses? He understood that there was pleasure in sin for a season, but he didn't choose that. He chose the riches of Jesus Christ. Listen to what the next verse says. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures which are in heaven. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Hebrews 11, verse 26. Folks, there is a reward coming. There is a day when God is going to bless us for our faithfulness. There is a day when He's going to say, well done. There is a day when He says, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. There is a day when you're going to get to walk upon that street of gold in that holy city called heaven. It's really going to come. And if my mind is there, nothing God desires of me to get there is too much. Point number five. If I understand the commands of God and their purposes, nothing is too demanding of me. You want to know what one of the purposes of all of God's commands is? To make me like Him. That's one of the purposes. Matthew 5, verse 48 says this, be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. Folks, God wants us to be like Him. And the reality is that we can be like Him. And every time I choose to obey the will of God, I'm becoming more like the God of heaven. What a wonderful thought, isn't it? Is God too demanding? No, I love Him too much. Is God too demanding? No. I understand His grace and what it's done for me. Is God too demanding? Oh, no. My citizenship's not here. This world doesn't concern me. I'm concerned about my things beyond this world. Is God too demanding? Absolutely not. For one day there's coming a reward. Is God too demanding? No. Every day He's making me more like Him. And I think that's wonderful. Is God too demanding? If you say yes, it could be because you're looking at it solely from a human perspective. If you say yes, it could be because Satan has deceived you into believing that. Because the true answer is what? No. God will never demand too much of any human being. Here's a thought too, folks. Jesus has never asked us to do anything that He Himself in some way has not experienced. Did you know that? There's that old saying says that if I ask you to do it, I need to be willing to do it. Folks, God sent His Son, God in the form of man, and Jesus did what He asked us to do. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1 verse 3. My friends, those blessings are there for a reason. Are you partaker of them? We want you to be desperately. And when you keep the Word of God, those blessings can be yours, and especially that eternal reward in heaven. The Bible says that He has promised us an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Are you really going to go there? Or has Satan convinced you God's made it just way too hard? Is it really too hard to obey the gospel? You hear the gospel? You believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God? You die to that old way of living? Come forward confessing His precious name and are immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Is that really too hard? Be faithful unto me till death. Give me 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of your life and I'll give you an eternity. Is it really that hard? Maybe you need to repent, dear Christian, and ask God to forgive you. If you need to respond to this invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?